UPS says it faces the need to lay off more than 10% of its pilots. Iran claims it's ready to manufacture advanced UAVs. And a piece of a 747 flap lands in a Miami parking lot. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, February 10th, 2010. UPS says it plans to furlough at least 300 of its airline pilots, but remains open to a compromise with the pilots' union that would avert or mitigate the layoffs before they take effect. UPS employs about 2,800 pilots and has been working with the Independent Pilots Association for the past year to identify ways to cut operating costs to avoid the furloughs. Last June, IPA identified significant savings through voluntary short and long-term leaves of absence, military leaves, job sharing, reduction in flight pay guarantees, early retirement, and sick bank contributions. UPS subsequently agreed it would not furlough any pilots in 2009. But it's 2010 now, and subsequent discussions have failed to identify sufficient further operating savings. If the furloughs go forward, the initial group would happen in May. The company says it hasn't yet given up. The government of Iran claims it will begin manufacture of advanced UAVs capable of precision attacks and surveillance and detection missions. The London Telegraph cites the Iranian news agency Fars in reporting that Iran unveiled the UAVs at a manufacturing facility in the northern province of Mazandaran. Hamed Saidi, managing director of Farnes Aerospace Company, is quoted as describing both UAVs as short-range, low-altitude aircraft that exhibit some stealth qualities. A fiberglass fairing that was part of the flap assembly on a 747 freighter broke off the aircraft on approach to Miami International Airport Friday. The panel fell into a mall parking lot. There were no injuries and no damage on the ground. The freighter belonged to Atlas Airlines and was arriving from Santiago, Chile. It arrived safely at Miami International. The FAA says it will inspect the aircraft's maintenance records as well as the panel itself. Up next on ANN, the K-MAX unmanned helicopter has impressed the U.S. Marines. Zero Gravity Builder's Studio moves into new digs. And Sardi Field has scenery so good it may be dangerous. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 10th. I'm Paul Plagg. Lockheed Martin and Kamen Aerospace report a successful demonstration to the U.S. Marine Corps of the unmanned K-MAX helicopter to resupply troops at forward operating bases in Afghanistan. During a series of flights last week in sub-freezing temperatures at the U.S. Army's Dugway Proving Grounds here in Utah, the unmanned K-MAX flew autonomous and remote-controlled demos over both line-of-sight and a satellite-based beyond-line-of-sight data link. Lockheed VP Dan Spoor says, quote, "We met or exceeded the requirements within the scheduled 3-day time frame of the demonstration. The system performed a rigorous set of cargo resupply scenarios as programmed, allowing the ground-based operator to monitor progress and make adjustments to aircraft positioning only when requested by the Marine Corps for demonstration purposes," unquote. The demos reportedly included hovering at 12,000 feet with a 1,500-pound sling load, delivering 3,000 pounds of cargo on two 150 nautical mile round trips within a 6-hour deadline, day and night operations, and uploading a new mission plan to the aircraft's mission management system during flight. The K-MAX has logged almost 400 hours in unmanned mode since 2007. The recent demo fulfilled an $860,000 U.S. Marine Corps contract that was awarded back in August. Zero Gravity Builders Studio, LLC, has completed its move to a newly renovated 14,000-square-foot facility with taxiway access on airport property in Richland, Washington. The new facility is more than 4 times larger than the space previously occupied. The company has nothing to do with those famous parabolic flights. At least not yet. Zero Gravity specializes in assisting builders of high-performance experimental aircraft. The company reports three Viperjet customer projects on the shop floor and says it will welcome a Lancair Evolution customer in late spring. General Manager Rob Huntington explains, quote, "Although the national recession has been very hard on aviation in general, we are optimistic that the industry will rebound and pilots will continue to pursue their passion for flight. Moving to a larger facility was really a timing issue for Zero Gravity. The building became available at a time when we were taking on more projects and needed the extra space. We have an experienced, qualified team in place to do the job, and now we have the space to help more clients complete their projects," unquote. The additional square footage will also allow Idea Studio, a division of Zero Gravity, to expand its prototyping assistance to inventors across a broad range of industries and to enlarge its menu of aircraft services. Is it possible for an airport to be too scenic? Maybe. Officials at Sardi Field in Aspen, Colorado, are concerned about what seems to be an increasing number of people wandering onto a taxiway used by private jet traffic moving to and from the runway. They requested that the FAA come take a look at the situation over the President's Day holiday. Airport Director Jim Elwood told the Aspen Daily News, "The problem seems to mostly involve tourists getting off airplanes and wanting to take pictures of the surrounding area." But he added there was also a pilot walking around on the taxiway trying to get better cell phone reception. He says growth of the problem has followed an FAA mandate to move the taxiway 100 feet to the east. That resulted in the paving of a grassy area that had been a natural barrier between the apron and the taxiway. Still ahead, the Rolls-Royce Aviation Heritage Trophy is in play for 2010. If you want your home or office at an airport, check this out. And the new Aero train at Dulles won't be slowed by heavy snow. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, February 10th. I'm Paul Plack. The 12th Annual National Aviation Heritage Invitational kicked off Monday with a call for applications for vintage aircraft to compete for the acclaimed Rolls-Royce Aviation Heritage Trophy. This year's competition is held in conjunction with the Reno Air Races, September 15th through the 19th. Criteria developed by the Smithsonian's National Air and Space Museum are used to judge authenticity, quality of workmanship, attention to detail, and technical merit in three categories: antique, classic, and warbird. The overall winning aircraft is awarded the Rolls-Royce Aviation Heritage Trophy. Owners of aircraft less than 45 years old need not apply. Get more details in the text version of this story, dated February 9th, at aero-news.net. If your New Year's resolutions include finding a place to live with your plane, check this out. Ambassador Jet Center, a full-service FBO at Dallas Executive Airport in Texas, just completed the first of three state-of-the-art hangars for lease or sale. Two are condominium-styled, 68 by 60 feet, with hydraulic doors and an office condo area with access directly from the hangar. The first hangar is completely finished with cabinetry and kitchen, has a mezzanine for either a bedroom or an office area, and is ready for immediate occupancy. George Musa, president of Ambassador Jet Center, explains, quote, "We purposely did not finish out the second unit as we wanted to allow a customer to tailor it to their own specifications," unquote. The third hangar measures 96 by 140 feet and includes 4,000 square feet of office space, built with a maintenance facility or corporate flight department in mind. Its two-story office space area can accommodate up to three bathrooms and has a lobby overlooking the development. And finally today, the Metropolitan Washington Airports Authority recently announced the opening of AeroTrain. No, it's not a division of Aero News. This is the new underground airport train system at Dulles International Airport. It's billed as a quick and convenient way to transport passengers from the main terminal to the midfield concourses. The 4-mile system includes four underground stations, a maintenance shop, and a passenger security screening facility built on a new mezzanine level in the main terminal. Aerotrain takes less than 2 minutes to travel between stations. It's part of $3 billion in recent improvements at Dulles. And the best part? It won't have to be snowplowed this week. You know you're having a bad week when forecasters promise the second storm will drop only 8 to 12 inches of snow. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Brian Binney recalls the day he piloted Spaceship One to win the Ansari X Prize 5 years ago. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.